Welcome to this edition of the Disciples Men podcast with your hosts Greg Alexander and Alex Ruth. Thank you for joining us as we explore the many challenges of being man of faith in these challenging times. Disciples Men is a ministry of Disciples Home Missions of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in the U.S. and Canada. Let's listen in today's conversation.
Welcome to this new edition of the Disciples Men podcast. I am Alex Ruth, your assistant director, associate director of Disciples Men, and I have with us, or we have with us this day, our director of Disciples Men, Greg Alexander. Greg, good to be with you.
Good morning, Alex. So great to be with you. We've been away from our podcasting for a couple weeks with all the current crises in the world, and it's great to be back with you.
It is certainly good to be talking with you again as well. And it's a good thing that you mentioned crises. That's going to be our topic for the day. A couple of items on our agenda. We're going to talk first about one of the aspects of how this crisis I'm finding is impacting some of the guys that I know. And we want to talk about that. And then we want to get to some boots on the ground kind of stuff. And how we might be able to continue to develop and maintain our relationships among men and among everyone during this time of physical separation. So let's get started first with the question that I've run into a few times, at least over the past week or so, which is, what does this crisis mean for me as a person of faith, specifically as a man, when I can no longer do what I normally do, when I can no longer work in the way that I normally work, when I can no longer define myself in the way that I have come to define myself in the past. So, Greg, or how do we get past maybe this stumbling block of identity crisis that can come along with the isolation and changes in our schedules that we have going on with this current pandemic?
Well, that's a great question, Alex. And I know it's whether it's a question that's been formed in people's minds, it is sort of the basic question that we need to address if we're going to maintain some sanity during this pandemic that's got us all quarantined and tucked away from the things we normally do and the people we love. One of the things that we've spent some time exploring was the difference between the immature and the mature masculine. And these are terms that came from a couple guys who wrote a book entitled King, Warrior, Magician, Lover. Moore and Gillette were the authors of that book. And they've identified this, or Jungian psychologists, so they identified these as Jungian archetypes and talked about the importance of rites of passage to move from the immature to mature. And we've reviewed those in prior podcasts. What makes them relevant is that for most men, we have throughout time been defined as primarily as providers and protectors of the things that we love, people, family, property, etc. And almost throughout time, you know, through the recorded history, men have understood themselves to occupy those two primary roles. And, you know, served us quite well up until probably the last, in our own lifetimes. And, you know, we've gotten more sophisticated, more mature. We have more information, you know, with the various sciences and stuff. We've been able to learn a lot more about what makes us tick and, more importantly, what can make us whole. And as men of faith, one of the things that we've been struggling with for many, many years is how do you get men out of the provider-protector mindset, which is the default set, and into a more self-reflective way of being that moves us from being self-centered, which is the immature masculine, to being other-centered in, as people of faith, for being God-centered or Christ-centered beings in which we find our value, our worth, our sense of purpose, all that wrapped up in how we define our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That takes the rite of passage journey to get from me being the center of my world to God or Christ being the center of my world. Mm-hmm. Where that becomes particularly relevant to our conversation today and the situation we're in globally is that if I have not made the journey from the immature to the mature masculine, if everything is, if I'm operated from a self-centeredness, then my sense of identity of who I am is not driven internally. It's defined externally. It's defined by my job, by my wealth, all of those elements become a part of who I am. But if my identity is tied to job or to everything external, then when my job is taken away, when my ability to provide for my family has become curtailed, then all of a sudden my sense of self gets challenged in a radical way. And I don't know who I am. If I can't provide and protect my family, then who am I? And that creates a real crisis for men. And that's when anxiety levels centered on those two things begin to rise, then is when men start misbehaving and acting out because we don't know how to vent in a proper way that anxiety that's arising around this challenge to our sense of self. And so that's really what we're going to see happen, sadly, in a big way, as more and more people are away from, especially men, are kept away from that which defines them. And when the anxiety level rises, our level of creativity diminishes. They are opposite of each other. So the more anxious I am, the less creative I am. You know, the brain scientists who study the triune brain essentially would remind us that when anxiety rises, it pushes us down into the reptilian part of our brain, which is the fight, flight, freeze mechanism. There's no thought. That's all automatic response. And so in order for us to figure out who I am and how to deal with the crisis I'm in requires me to get away from the reptilian brain and back up into the higher brain where there is, where it's thought, creativity, assessment, the ability to discern, be rational, et cetera. All those kinds of things have to come into play. But those are expressions of the more mature side of who we are. And that requires ability to separate from oneself and see oneself in one's context and then begin to make rational, good decisions based on what's good, not only for me, but what's good for all within my realm of influence. And we had a podcast talking about the realm of influence as well. So if our identity is external, if it's dependent upon all the things around me, and primarily for men, it's job and wealth or status, then and if that stuff is challenged and I don't know who I am, then I'm going to start doing things that I don't normally do. I'll behave in ways that I don't normally behave, and usually that means that there's pretty negative consequences for the people around me when that happens.
Right. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be supremely negative consequences. I experienced a little of this just yesterday afternoon. I was feeling down in the doldrums, feeling the pressure and the anxiety had built up. And so I took a few moments to do a couple of creative tasks. We had a puzzle that we'd made as a family several weeks ago that we were going to frame, and took the opportunity to get that ready for framing and began working on a project that I've been wanting to do for some time, where I got out some of my woodworking tools and got some sawdust going. And that creative outlet, that opportunity to shift our mind, or my mind in this case, back into something where I had to think, I had to be problem solving, I had to do all these things, kind of pulled me back to a much better place, where I was not as down, and was better able to then interact with the family for the rest of the day.
That's a marvelous outlet. I mean, that's a great thing to do, but for you, you were able to think it through. You had enough sense of self you know, to know that that's a place to go in order to help ease anxiety and, you know, and to improve, you know, your whole state of being by doing that kind of creative outlet. And certainly that's what we would want to encourage, you know, the men who are listening to us in this podcast is, it's all a state of mind. I mean, sure, you're dealing with some challenges. We all are with the coronavirus and how it's impacting everyone's life globally. Yeah. But are we going to let that define us? Are we going to let that anxiety that comes from that define who we are? And I think that's the big question, is not, are we going to let it define us, or are we going to take charge of the situation that we find ourselves in? This is a great opportunity for us to start spending, as you did, more time with family, you know, find a project to do with your kids. You know, if you're working with your hands, find a project, you know, that allows you to, you know, focus on the creativity with what you do with your hands. If you, you know, if you're more of a thinker or a reader or a studier kind of a person, an in your head kind of person. Well, there are zillions of ways to educate yourself in new ways, you know, through the internet. You know, there you all kinds of free information, you know, that helps you continue to develop your own sense of self. And so, you know, read, study, work with your kids, make a puzzle, you know, build a birdhouse, you know, plant a garden. That's would be a great thing. Go outside and get your hands dirty, you know, plant a garden and plant a tree. Do something, you know, that is a wonderful creative outlet that can release the anxiety and help you get some distance from, you know, from the, I'm not providing, you know, and I don't have my job that define me, but to get in there to help you see that you're far more than just the job that you've been working in, that there's a whole lot more to you. And as a child of God, I'm pretty sure that there's a whole lot of that relationship you've yet to develop or explore.
Right. One of the other things that I've been thinking about, primarily in relationship to my, you know, I think about things in relationship to my family oftentimes. My mom is a widow, lives by herself in a independent living facility. And she has spent the greatest portion of the past 2 weeks isolated from any other real human contact. She might see another human here or there, but it's pretty rare. And I think that that adds a wrinkle for our listeners who may be single or who may have to be isolated or quarantined even more. That adds a wrinkle and a layer of difficulty to maintaining and creating those relationships that I think are so vital to us in our flourishing.
We're dealing with the same thing with my mother-in-law. Yeah, she's 95 years old. Lives in assisted living, and you know, last Thursday or Friday when they, or maybe sometime last week when they did the quarantine of her living facility, after a day or so, she called and she said, "I feel like I'm in jail." Yeah, and she's an extreme extrovert, lovely woman of faith, deep faith, and you know, she's pretty much a social butterfly, you know, in the place where she lives, and you know, and now she can't carry that basic sense of who she is out because of the quarantine. And, you know, she's having to find new outlets. But the problem with her is she suffers from macular degeneration. So reading is a huge issue. And she can read books on tapes and, you know, things like that, which she does. And, but, you know, her main, as an extrovert, her main source of energy comes with her setting and talking with people, interacting with people. And that's been severely curtailed for her. So yeah, it's like your mom. We need to be very sensitive to these folks. I mean, pick up the phone, give them a call, and you know, spend some time. Or if they chat or can do Zoom or you know one of the other technologies, be extra attentive to that during this time, because I mean, our moms in those situations have no recourse. I mean, they're stuck. Right. You and I still have mobility. We can still go to the grocery and do other things. But for our folks in those places, I'm sure it does feel like prison.
Yes, it has to. And you mentioned something that I think is equally important for us to think about as we are going through this time. And that is, how do we maintain our contact with our brothers, our other men who we've come to know during through our journeys in Disciples Men, you know, men's group in our church, or you know, a group of friends that gathers for coffee. Those things are going to be curtailed, and it becomes a little much more difficult, not a little bit more difficult, it becomes much more difficult to maintain those relationships, certainly over time. And Greg, you mentioned a couple of ways that I think are essential to our continued flourishing, and that is being very intentional about making phone calls, about setting up you know, teleconferencing, whether that's on Zoom or GoToMeeting or any of the number of platforms that are available for that. Even a simple text message or Facebook messenger message may be enough to spark a conversation and really help somebody who is struggling through a time of distance, both physical and relational distance, that is kind of inherent when we physically distance ourselves. Because if we're honest, even in today's highly technological society, a lot of our interaction, a lot of our social interaction does still happen face to face.
Well, it does. And thanks be to God for that. I mean, I would not want that to change.
Yeah.
You know, we are social creatures. We are communal creatures by design. And so moments like this, it is an acute crisis for us, because that which is intuitive to us has been challenged. And,
right.
And so we have to be creative, you know, and we need to thank God that we live in a world in which the technological opportunities are there in abundance for us to stay connected. I mean, you know, I can remember growing up as a kid watching the Jetsons cartoons and thinking, I can't imagine that what it would be like, you know, to call somebody and be able to see each other face to face. And,
right.
You know, we live in that time, you know,
yes.
FaceTime, Google Chat, or whatever platform you use, you know, I mean, you can, if you got the bandwidth, that's of course always kind of a key now, but, you know,
right.
you can talk face to face. And the truth is, I find that less appealing than just doing a phone call. I don't know why, you know, again, that's just me, but, you know, we don't do it as much as I thought we would. Some of maybe, you know, my kids just really don't want to look at my face. That could be it too. But, yeah, I mean, that stuff is there and we need to take full advantage of it. And you know, a couple other things I think is really important. And that is, this gives us time. You know, our normal routines have been disrupted. The things that we have used to fill our time day in and day out are no longer filling our time. In one sense, that creates an acute crisis because we don't know who we are, as we've discussed, when that happens. But the flip side of that is that it also is granting you time to do some serious self-reflection. Who am I? Who am I in my relationship with God? How is my relationship with my spouse or my significant other or my kids? How can I work on making that a much better relationship that we, you know, in which we can all benefit from those, from growing in our relationships? And this is a time to do that. I mean, take advantage of what you are given. Don't just sit there and go, woe is me, but ask yourself, what can I do to make me a better me in this time that I have been granted? And it doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge the challenges. I mean, we all have some significant challenges that we're dealing with. They're real. They're very real. But we can't let them define us. And we have to be better than that. And, you know, our relationship with God through Jesus Christ is a journey that gets us there. And that's what
yes.
faith is. You know, faith is seeing what can be and then living as if it's already real. And that's the, you know, that's the journey that we've been called to make. And if we sit back and wring our hands and say the world is ganging up on me and nobody loves me and all this kind of stuff, well, that's not going anywhere. That, you know, that just takes you down the rabbit hole. And,
right.
And I think the key, and not, this may be more self-confession than anything, is it's also a time for us to learn to listen. Go outside. listen to the birds singing. Where, you know, where you and I live, spring is coming. And yes. And you, I've just noticed in the last couple of weeks, I walk outside and the air is filled with the singing of the birds. Beautiful, wonderful, you know, melodies that you're hearing. I haven't heard all winter. And, you know, take time to just sit and, you know, enjoy the beauty of the day, the warmth. You know, here we're going to have a day in the low 70s and here in Kentucky, first one we've had for quite a while. And it's the sun is shining. We're not getting rain, which is unusual for us these days. And, you know, go outside and just sit and enjoy, you know, or plant something, you know, do something that makes you feel better about yourself. But most of all, in our relationships with one another, stop talking and just listen. Listen [S2] Yes. [S1] To the people around you. Listen to your kids. Listen to your spouse. Listen to your significant other. Listen to your brothers in Christ, you know, if you're in some kind of a group chat. Just shut up and listen. There is a whole world out there, you know, that wants to get our attention in some marvelous ways. And, but it can't if we're doing all the talking. And I'm doing all the talking. So it's time for me to heed my own and listen to you for a while.
Well, that sparked a couple thoughts in my mind. One was a very pleasant memory from a church camp several years ago. I was up fairly early of a morning, up before everybody else was moving around, and had a little time before breakfast. So I went to the labyrinth and was walking a labyrinth in that morning. And where that church camp was located was moderately close to a highway. And so it was interesting to me to be in a reflective spot, to be walking that labyrinth and being able to hear the hum and drone of the trucks and cars driving by on the highway, people scurrying about to their normal everyday lives, and being in that moment of a liminal space. I was caught between, on the one hand, I could hear the hustle and bustle. On the other hand, I was experiencing the real and tangible presence of a reflective spiritual discipline. And you mentioned that this is an opportunity for us to be quiet, to listen, and to reflect. And what I've noticed in the past few days is that I'm hearing a lot less noise from the world around us, and able to maybe tune in and listen to and for God's voice in the people and in the connections that I still have and am working to maintain, friends and family. It has been a unique and powerful experience to be able to listen to and for God in a new way. So there, as much as there are anxieties, as much as there are certainly unknowns for myself and for all of us, I think if we shift our way of thinking, and sometimes that's difficult, but if we can shift our way of thinking to reflecting on what we do have and seeing the opportunity for enhancing our lives through this experience, I think that those are both positive outcomes. They can be a very much transformative or even transfigurative outcomes. I'm not suggesting that we build booths and tents and set up residence in this time frame and in this way. I don't necessarily want to keep this physical separation for longer than I have to. But at the same time, I think we can learn something here.
Absolutely right. You're just spot on there, Alex. And I would say that it's not just so much what we have as reflecting on who we are. I mean, we're children of the living God. We are people endowed with the capacity to reason, to see ourselves in context, to discern. And, you know, we have so many untapped gifts and resources that God has given us because we get, you know, on automatic pilot in the way we live our lives. And, you know, and we just sort of, again, not haphazardly, but we kind of go through the day, and the day goes, you know, kind of guides us along. The things that come along, we deal with, and we go on. And this is a time for us to say, wait a minute, there's got to be more to life than that. And there is.
Right.
And so this is a wonderful opportunity for us to set and recognize that we are gifted, loving, caring, compassionate, awesome people, because that's how God made each and every one of us. We're each unique. We don't have the same gifts and graces to share, but we have to discover what those gifts and graces that each of us have are that are uniquely ours that God is calling us to share. And I do believe this is an opportunity for us. You know, again, a forced opportunity, of course, that none of us have wanted. But let's take advantage of it. Let's stop and say, you know, who am I in my relationship with God? And what might God be calling me to do in this time of reflection and kind of downtime from, you know, the normal routines of life? And what things can I do that might make me better or different, you know, in good ways? When our life begins to resume some normalcy, and can I take full advantage of this opportunity? And I do think it can be an opportunity if we have the right mindset, and do a lot of things that will make me and the world a better place. And again, I don't want to squander, you know, what we've been given and all of its unfortunateness. And there's a lot of people in a lot of pain, and you know, and we pray for them and, you know, lift them up and hope that their, you know, that their struggles are very short term for them and for all of us. But it doesn't solve anything if we sit around and wring our hands. Let's focus on being, rising to the occasion and being the best of us we can be. And being the best of us we can be as children of God, I think that opportunity can be embraced if we allow ourselves to do that.
And I think there is another opportunity here, and that is to really begin some things that hopefully will then carry on into whatever normalcy return some point in the future. If we are intentional about creating and maintaining the relationships in the time of physical distance, if we can continue that as we are able to be closer to one another physically again, that will only, I think, enhance our relationships and enhance our lives.
I agree. I mean, the one thing that I would hope more than anything is that when this is all over, that people will say, wow, Greg's different. And I like him. I like him a little more than I did before, because I don't know what he did during this time. But I kind of like this new version, this, you know, point whatever version of Greg that's emerging. And wouldn't that be a great thing for all of us in the world if we could see that kind of positive difference in everyone? And it would show that we weren't defeated by this situation. We rose to the occasion to get through it in a better way. And that would be pretty awesome, I think.
Yeah, that would be certainly a blessing, certainly something we can look forward to.
You bet.
Well, Greg, I do want to thank you. Go ahead.
I want to add one other thing, and that is, you know, looking for things to do. If you are involved, in a men's group or, you know, do some things like that, or even people in your church, you and I are both doing a lot of virtual church work with the churches we serve, I'm trying to figure out how you do all that. You already do it. But start thinking about some challenging questions, faith questions, you know, the big ticket questions. And, you know, in whatever mechanism you use, my little church, you know, we're all connected. I can send out a text message and get to everybody because we're small. But whatever format you use in your church, just throw out a big ticket question and say, hey, have you ever thought about this? Or what are your thoughts about this? And just let people respond. You know, in some sense, that's the way Facebook was designed to work. But it's, you know, everybody shut their minds down on that thing. And so, at least in my humble opinion. But, you know, create a mechanism for people to chat with each other about some big ticket things. Because what it does is requires them to be reflective, to do deeper thought. And to put right. their lives to ask how this is impacting me, and is it impacting me in the right kind of way as I think about how I answer this question. And, you know, enter into some dialogues with people around stuff like that. Use it creatively and, you know, again, creatively in a faithful way. And so, again, I was just thinking that that might be kind of fun if people are looking for ways to, you know, to develop self in a kind of non-intrusive way. Something like that might be kind of a fun challenge.
Yeah, and it would be something that you could do certainly with a diverse group. You can do it in a men's group if you have the ability to do that as well. And support and enhance those relationships. This is also a watershed moment in a lot of people's lives. Things are definitely different. So it's a good opportunity for us as men of faith, as people of faith, to reach out to others and to share a bit of our faith story and how our faith is impacting how we face this pandemic and this change of life. In new, unique, and meaningful ways. This is an opportunity for those, you know, rites of passage kind of moments naturally develop out of a situation like this. So this is a great opportunity for us as men. And we're going to have another opportunity coming up in a couple of weeks that I do want to mention. Our next podcast, I'm really excited about. We're going to be having the opportunity and pleasure to talk with Pat Donahue, who is the president of Disciples Women, and get some reflections from her on how we might enhance our world by working together as disciples men and women, as men and women in general. So I'm really looking forward to that conversation coming up in just a couple of weeks.
As am I, and she's actually the director of Disciples Women. She's the head honcho over the great women's organization for the, you know, Christian Church Disciples of Christ. And Pat's an extraordinary individual and has done marvelous work with that ministry, which is really one of the more significant ministries of our denomination, bar none. And so we see her as a partner in ministry, and we're very grateful that she sees us that way in return. And so we're really excited about having a chance to spend some time with Pat. She's an awesome person.
Greg, thank you for your time today, and look forward to talking to you here in the near future.
Sounds great, Alex. Don't forget to wash your hands while you're singing the alphabet or whatever your favorite song is, and stay safe, my friend.
You too, and have a good day.
You too. God bless.
Our special thanks to our good friend, the Reverend Dr. Dean Phelps, for providing the special music of this podcast. You can discover more of Dean's music at deanphelpsmusic.com. And you can learn more about the ministry of Disciples Men on Facebook and through discipleshomemissions.org.